Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
So it's a new year, and while many of us focus on personal resolutions like hitting the gym or learning a new skill, there is one crucial area that often gets overlooked, and that's our financial wellness. Are we managing our money wisely? Are we preparing for the unexpected? Most importantly, are we making smart decisions today that will secure our future? And joining me to discuss financial wellness in 2025 is Kwezi Jackson, Client Relationship Manager at 10X Investments, and he's put together a useful financial checklist to help us start the year on a right note. So let's look at some of the items on that checklist. Kwezi, good evening to you and welcome. First of all, financial wellness is a buzzword, but in real terms, though, people are struggling with debt and trying to make ends meet. I'm just wondering how realistic it is to tell people to focus on things like investment and insurance when for so many, immediate concerns are survival.
Yeah, no, thank you very much for the opportunities to be with your listeners this evening. I get that. Investments and financial wellness is sort of, I think, made its way down to the bottom of the priorities, you know, that we do have. And I think the checklist that I put together, I think it's just trying to revisit your whole entire lifestyle and trying to find out, is there any sort of low-hanging fruits that you can actually do something about within the constraints that we actually are in?
The checklist emphasizes, for instance, reviewing insurance and subscriptions. Where would you start in that respect?
Yeah, so I think sometimes, when we join companies, of course, this might not apply for everyone. You know, companies sometimes have benefits, you know, it could be funeral, could be life cover. But then before you join the company, you might have, you know, a funeral, or you might have the life cover insurance with your personal, you know, broker or advisor as well. And so I think that item was sort of looking at, can we review holistically, what do you have with your employer? Because if you belong to an employer fund and that has a life benefit, you have to belong to that. You have to have that benefit. But perhaps we can see, you know, do I need both of these life covers, or do I actually have enough cover, you know, through my company? You know, the subscription one is actually, you know, quite funny in that, you know, there's so many of these subscriptions. You know, there's a Disney Plus, there's Netflix. And in my case, I caught myself having two of them at the same time. Now, I, you know, canceled the other. And for the time being, we are just on Netflix. And as, you know, we get tired of the content on there, we can simply switch back, you know, to the other. I think it's the priorities. We can't be watching two movies from two subscription providers at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. And it's all of those little things actually do add up to a large amount at the end of the day, don't they?
Indeed. I think the other one, you know, that I found myself chuckling at, was around perhaps cost of food. I've got a budget set up and I've put there, I'm going to spend $3,000 on food. And perhaps beginning of the month, I do go to, you know, the big retailers, get that, you know, in within budget. But then throughout the month, there's the going out to get, you know, coffee, milk, bread and so forth, and little fruit here and there. And when you start to add those little costs together month in, and you do the review, and I found that my food costs are double what I am budgeting for. So I think part of this review is also actually, I think, being, looking internally at yourself and being completely honest with yourself. I mean, you'd like to spend, or say, 2,000 on fuel, but actually it's 3,000 rand just because you're not measuring it.
I'm glad you mentioned employers, and I'm wondering what your take is on their responsibility as far as financial wellness is concerned. Is there a case that companies should be doing more to educate employees on money management, or ultimately is it an individual's pure responsibility?
Yeah, so in my day-to-day job, I think, okay, let me start by saying that the responsibility is on both parties. and perhaps my answer, there's companies that I deal with which have, you know, a 10X Provident Fund or pension fund, and often you get invited to then go speak to the staff. But I've found that we are in this culture of busy, and it's almost, it's almost a brag. I can brag about the fact about how busy I am. And so for the 1 hour, 2 hours, I am at these employers, you know, every 6 months or every year, it's sometimes hard to get people to attend my session because they're just so busy that, or the financial education I'm coming to impart, in terms of importance to what they're doing, it's quite low. And so they don't attend the sessions at all. So I want to place the blame also on us as individuals to say that I think, you know, we need to be critical. We need of ourselves and in how important this item is in our own personal lives. And we need to prioritize it, because if we don't, no one is going to, you know, look after us. Mm. You know, we are our own retirement plans. And I think what I'm starting to find is that employees have outsourced the responsibility of retirement to employers. You know, they're just happy to know that there is a provident fund or a pension fund, and feel that they're not responsible for anything about that fund. But it's important that you yourself go and check what is happening inside the provident fund. You know, how much is being contributed? You know, one scheme that we have is a 5% contribution. And every year when I speak to them, I'm like, guys, it's not enough. You're not going to retire with enough money at only 5%. You need to do more. But, you know, at some point, we need to take the step and say, okay, then I am going to do more and make an additional voluntary contribution. So, yeah, employers can set up the structure of the benefits and wellness, but as employees, we too have a responsibility.
I'm glad you used that phrase, doing more, because cutting down on expenses is one thing, you know, streaming services, but also many people, I think, are also thinking about increasing income. And I wonder if there shouldn't be a focus on helping people find better paying opportunities rather than just budgeting smarter.
Yeah, and I think definitely. I think we could all do with extra pay. I think the checklist was purely focused on what we can do, but that's probably a different conversation on what the responsibility of employers towards paying the employees.
And just a final one then: if you had to strip it down to just one financial habit that could make the best or the biggest difference to all of us this year, what do you think it would be?
I'm going to go with revisit the budget. And I have found myself, you know, to be very good at setting the budget. And so it looks fantastic, but we need to go a step beyond. And that step beyond is then tracking that you are keeping up with what you would spend. So allowing the budget to keep you accountable. Because if we're just setting the budget and then going ahead and spending whatever we want, then I think, you know, what is even the point? I think the wellness or the savings that we can get out of our own sort of financial situation basically starts, you know, with that budget. And it's only once you can find savings within that budget, then we can then look at, you know, investing perhaps more.
Some very good advice from Kwezi Jackson, Client Relationship Manager at 10X Investments. I do appreciate your time tonight.
Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.